As you come in, number 100, as we all stand, please, number 100.
Set aside time to give honor to the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
But then it's interesting how many churches are closed today.
Exactly.
And that's not acceptable. That's the day you ought to have at least one service where you're just going to take time to worship the King.
Amen.
And so I'm glad you're here. And it's good to see everybody. Good number. Still got some folks that they were going to come today. So there will be a few more reasons. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We had prayer requests earlier, just before we started. We had some folks come in. Is there anybody that wants to add to the prayer requests, maybe that was not lifted previously? Anyone? Raise your hand. Anybody? Yes, sir. Okay. How old is he? Okay. All right, let's be sure to pray for that. Okay. Yes. All right, let's pray for that. All right, anyone else? All right, you have an unspoken request? Raise hand. The Lord knows all about it. All right. Brother Bill, you lead us in prayer today, please.
Thank you.
All right, let's have our fellowship song, hymn number 87, Joy to the World. We'll sing the first and second, and then we'll come back, fellowship, and go to the fourth. Okay. Carol, but you look exhausted, so I'm going to let you sit for a while. How about that? All right. All right, hymn number 91. Hymn number 91, First Noel. And let's sing the first, second, and sixth verses. That's funny to say that. You don't have six verses a lot of times in these hymns, but let's do first, second, and sixth. Say that's just because I'm getting old. I talk to a lot of young people, say it's moving fast too, so when kids can tell you it's fast, something must be going on. But hope you have had a wonderful week, and hope you've had a great beginning to a beautiful Christmas day. The Lord has given us a beautiful day, and I guess the only thing that could have made it better is we had a white Christmas.
No.
That's all. Oh, some people say I need to go wash my mouth. That was so clever. But it is a pretty day. And it is the goodness of the Lord. So I hope you'll have a great day. The Lord bless you. Have a good time with your family, your friends, your in-laws, your outlaws, and whoever there is today. All right. Okay, let's pray for Miss Teresa. She sings for us today.
First of all, I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. And I don't know very many Christmas songs to sing, so I'm going to sing a song that I really like, because Jesus is reason enough for all of us to want to go to heaven. If there wasn't anything else there for us to see, He is the reason. If heaven had no splendor for my eyes to see, and if I had no loved ones there waiting for me, still I would have a longing, and I'd still want to go, for Jesus is there. And that is all I need to know, and that's reason enough for me to walk this narrow way. Yes, that's reason enough to face each trial that comes my way. And if that holy city wasn't glittering and fair, then I'd still want to go, because Jesus is there. And if there were no rivers that flows from the throne, and if there were no angel bands to make me feel at home, and if I knew my visit there would only last for a while, oh, just to see the Lamb of God would make everything worthwhile. And that's reason enough for me to walk this narrow way. Yes, that's reason enough to face each trial that comes my way. And if that holy city wasn't glittering and fair, then I'd still want to go, because Jesus is there. And if that holy city wasn't glittering and fair, then I'd still want to go, because Jesus is there.
Well, that's very true. That's the reason we want to go to heaven, isn't it? Because He is there. And you know, there's not a time of the year that ought to make us more cognizant of that truth than right now, Christmas time. I'm going to try to think about a few of those thoughts today. Turn to Luke chapter 2, please. Everything that I've done this year, which has been unusual, the few messages that I've brought about Christmas, has all been in Luke chapter 2. That means that the Bible is inexhaustible. And Luke chapter 2, just that way, so many great truths about the birth of Christ and all the things that are related. Inexhaustible. While you're turning there to Luke chapter 2, we have a card here. It says, "Never was there a night so holy, so filled with wonder, so fitting for a visit from an angelic choir as that first Christmas, when God with us, the Savior of the world, had come. May our hearts be filled with awe and praise anew at the gift that is ours because of Jesus. God bless you richly, Christmas, and in the new year. We are very thankful and blessed to be part of Faith Baptist. Love, Mikey and Michaela." So we appreciate that card. Thank you. We are so glad that you are part of the fellowship of the church. What a blessing. All right. Good to have everybody with us today. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy Christmas day to take time to worship the Lord. Luke chapter 2, let's begin reading the verse number 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be here on this very special day. Now we know, Lord, more than likely you weren't born on the 25th of December, but it is a day that has been set aside to be celebrated concerning when you were born and brought into this earth. And so we look at the scriptures and we read this very wonderful story, and it never gets old to read the story of the birth of our Savior here in Luke chapter 2. So give us some help today, bless us, but help us, Lord, in turn, Lord, to worship you today and to thank you and to bless your name for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The message of Christmas. What kind of message is it? Isn't it interesting that there are some angels that are sent to send a message that they don't know anything about? For instance, when the angels rebelled and followed Satan, we understand from the Bible that angels have no opportunity for redemption. You and I have redemption offered to us through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But angels don't understand what that is. They don't know what it means to be redeemed. The Bible says that angels rejoice when people become Christians, when they get saved. When a sinner comes into the presence of God, the Bible says that according to the Word of God, angels rejoice, but they don't understand what it means to be redeemed. In Luke chapter 2, they come and they give a message. And it is a great message. It is a message of good news. But let's look for just a few moments at the message that they give. To whom did they give it? Why was it given? What is the message behind the Christmas message? What is it that the Bible is trying to show to us? Let me show you four things this morning before we leave about the message of Christmas. First of all, it is a message of humility. It is a message of humility. What do I mean by that? Who were some of the first people to hear the message? Verse 8 says, And there were in the same country shepherds. You can't get any more humble than a shepherd. Shepherds, their entire existence, the reason that they are present is because they have a job, and that job is to care for some nasty, smelly sheep. Now, I've never been around sheep. They tell me it's some of the worst smelling critters that's ever been on earth. I'll tell you some that's smelly, chickens. Now, I like chicken, buddy. I'm a Baptist preacher. And there are many chickens that have gone into the ministry. I'll tell you that right now. If Colonel Sanders was not a Baptist, Lord help him. Because he's got a lot to answer for when he got to heaven. Because I know he was a professing Christian, but he sure sent a lot of chickens to their demise. But you know, we've been down in Georgia and preached meetings down there, and down in North Georgia, just above Atlanta, Georgia. Man, there's a lot of chicken farms. And oh, you just better not put your window down, because the smell of those birds are very, very bad. They tell me that sheep's pretty bad too. And so they're dumb animals. They will walk off the side of a cliff. I mean, that's how dumb they are. I mean, you know, sometimes they're so rebellious. You know the story. The sheep, the shepherd will break the leg of one of the sheep and put him on his shoulder after he takes it and puts a brace around it. And he does that so that sheep will learn to rely upon that shepherd. They have a very sacrificial ministry. So it's no wonder that one of the first people to hear the message are shepherds. Now, who would we equate with shepherds today? We still, I guess, have some shepherds in third world countries and things like that, but bottom line is shepherds were poor people. And I look at the fact, and I think it's interesting, that when the message of Christmas came, some of the first people to whom the message of Christmas was given were poor people. I've always thought it was interesting, and when I started looking and reading in the Bible, that the Bible has a lot to say about poor people. You remember that in the story of Scrooge, Christmas Carol, that's one of the themes of that book that Charles Dickens was trying to get across, was the deplorable conditions of poor people, especially back in those times in which he lived. He was also an advocate of laws, even though there were no laws. He was an advocate of laws against child abuse. But here's what we mean by child abuse. Children were taken in Dickens' day, and they were used in the labor force, and they were abused in the labor force. If they didn't do what they were supposed to do, they were flogged and beaten. And so he was very much a social person, Charles Dickens. And so Dickens talked about the fact of the poor that did not have, and that was the fact that he used the riches of Ebenezer Scrooge to polarize and to show the need of poor people. And the Bible talks about poor people. Jesus, when he was in the temple on one occasion, quoted, I think it's the 61st chapter of Isaiah, which says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me to proclaim the good news. And then on down the line, and he says, unto the poor. In the book of James, James is writing, and he says, do not give importance to the man wearing the gay clothing. And what that meant was, when you see somebody that's expensively dressed and comes to church, that you're not supposed to give favoritism to that person, be he doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, whatever you want to call it. And yet I've seen that through the years. Always I've seen that. I've seen pastors of large churches, and somebody of importance will come in, and they will make a beeline. They'll just about run over the poor person, but they'll head on back there because they think, wow, this old boy can tithe. Now, I don't see any indication that's what we're supposed to do in the Word of God. The Bible tells us that we're to care for the poor, and all through the Word of God, the poor is referred to and talked about. And so there is something. Because now, why is it that we see a group of people like the shepherds being addressed here? Why did he not go to the Roman Empire? Why did he not go to the Caesars? Why did he not go to the people of prestige? Because they would not have heard him. Does the Bible not say that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the gates of heaven? Who said that? Jesus did. He of all people said that. We cannot take that and take it out of its context and talk about how that's somebody else. That was Jesus saying that. Do you remember when he talked to the rich man, the rich young ruler? And the rich young ruler said, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And he said, take everything you got and sell it and follow me. And the Bible says that he put his head down and walked away, for he had great possessions. You're not going to get into heaven if you say, rich people can't go to heaven. Yes, they can. There are people who are saved, born again, rich people, and they use their money to finance the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's not the point. It's not the point of whether a person's saved or lost as being opposed to rich and poor. That's not what we're talking about. It's talking about the fact that people must have a spirit of humility in order to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if a person has wealth and riches, there are some churches, for instance, that wealthy people would never enter. They would never go into plain churches. The churches that they would go to on Christmas Sunday, and I'm sure there are great cathedrals who are having all sorts of lavish choirs, and they have their minister is in all sorts of ornate robes, and everything is, you know, high ceiling and high collar and all of this. And the rich people are going there. You know why? Because it speaks of riches. But they're not going to come to some small little Baptist church that just has a handful of people that loves God. Why? Because that doesn't hit the prestige that they want.
today. God is in love with poor people. And the reason is because poor people need something. How many times have you heard the story? I think it's neat. I've heard it, and I don't know, I guess it goes on a lot. But I have seen and heard the story that recently there are people even in our area that have been going into places like Kmart and Walmart and places like that that have layaway programs, and they've been going in and they've been asking people, you know, I have such and such amount of money, I'd like to pay somebody's layaway off anonymously. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, that's not going to get you into heaven, but that sure does help generate the spirit of Christmas. Because Christmas is supposed to be about giving and about others. And what a great thing that is, that somebody's willing to go in and pay off somebody's layaway to help somebody have a better Christmas. What a blessing that is. Why? Because what was it Scrooge said as he was talking and two of the men came and asked him for a donation? He said, "We find that Christmas is a time of most keen want and need." And it's true. When Christmas comes along, you say, "Well, I wish I could do this and I wish I could do that and I wish I could give here and I wish that my family..." Let me just share something. And some of you know this. Some of you have learned this, and some of you have yet to learn this. If your children or grandchildren or nephews or nieces do not get everything they want this year, guess what? They'll live. And you know what? I take that a step farther. It's probably better they don't get everything they want. You're going to think I'm ugly for saying this, but does the word B-R-A-T mean anything to you? Have you ever, you may never have been here, but have you ever been in somebody's home of people that have everything? And have you noticed that when they exchange gifts, do you ever notice how they react to the present? They open it, they go, "Oh, isn't that nice?" That's it. They just, and you're like, "You know how long it took me to pick that out? You know," you know, it's like, "That's nice." And that's it. There's something wrong with that. See, there needs to be a thankfulness. There needs to be an appreciation. And if you don't have much, guess what? When you get something, you appreciate. And so the Lord had a message for poor people. And poor people are more open and receptive to the gospel than rich people are. But even though it is hard, or it is easier for that camel to go through the eye of the needle, the Bible says it is not impossible for rich people to get saved. They can get saved. But they may have to come to a place where they are like the poor people and they may get broken. I look sometimes at these type of people, rich people, again I use that terminology, and I think, what's it going to take to get your eyes open and see your need of Jesus? Because here's the whole issue, is that word need. They don't see the need. When you write a blanket check for anything you want to, why do you need Jesus? Why do you need Jesus if you can go to the bank and get an unsecured loan for any amount of money that you want? Why do you need Jesus? Well, when you get in a hard fix and things get tough and you go see that doctor and that doctor says something you don't want to hear, you sure do find out you need Jesus. There's a message of humility. To whom? To the shepherds, and the shepherds represent the poor. Second thing about this message of Christmas, it's a message of holiness. Not only a message of humility, it's a message of holiness. Where did the message come from? It came from angels. This message was so wonderful, this message was so great, that God entrusted the message to go through none other than angels. It came straight from the throne of God. I don't have time to go into all the theological aspects of before the foundation of the world and the foreordination of God, the foreknowledge of God, but let's just say right here that the message that this story relates to us, God would trust it to none other but angels from God. They were, the word angel is the word in the Greek language called angelos, and the word angelos is where we get the word messenger. So these are messengers from God, and they are told to give this message. And as I said a few moments ago, it is a message that they don't understand because they are perfect created beings. Now, when I say perfect, they are perfect in the standpoint of the fact that they are direct servants of God, but they did have an opportunity under the devil, under Lucifer, and so many of the angels went and followed him, but they were not given the opportunity to repent. And so because of that, there is an element in which the angels look, and as they look down upon what happened here in Luke chapter 2, and there is the birth of the Savior, they did not understand fully, nor to this day do they understand fully what this is all about. When you became a Christian, when you got saved, the angels, the Bible said, the angels of the Lord rejoiced over you getting saved. But even though they rejoiced over it, they did not understand it. The Bible says that the Bible tells us that the angels rejoice over one sinner that repented. Just one. When you got saved, the angels had a camp meeting. But they did not understand what it meant. But we know this, that it is something that is so pure and so holy that God said, I only want my angels to send this great message from angels, from God. Third thing about this message of Christmas, not only a message of humility and of holiness, but it is a message of hope. Now here's a baby. This baby was not allowed to come into this inn because there was no room for him. Had they known who he was, had they understood who he was, they would have let him in, no doubt. They would have looked upon him as a dignitary. But he could not. He had to go outside, and he had to be with the animals and had to stay with the creatures of the field when he was born. And he was a very, very humbling experience, no doubt about it. But when we look at what happened, we see a message of hope. The greatest gift of God is given here in this story. There is a sign, verse 12, given to them that ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. How poor, we're talking about poor people, how poor was Joseph and Mary? If you know anything of studying that day and time, you may have wondered, and you may have never looked it up nor studied it, about that word swaddling. What does the word swaddling clothes mean? Well, somebody says, well, the swaddling clothes must have something to do with the fact of wearing clothes that maybe are just baby clothes, but that's not what swaddling clothes were. Swaddling clothes were clothes that you put on dead people. When they would take and wrap their bodies for burial, that was swaddling clothes. So what was it? The very first thing they put on the body of Jesus was something that you buried dead people. Somebody says, that doesn't sound like much hope, but it is, because everybody there knew that had any knowledge of the scripture truths, and really probably none of those people did, but God knew and put that baby, put his only begotten son in swaddling clothes because it pointed to Calvary and it pointed to the gift of God's son, the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross. A message of hope. A message of hope. Our hope is nothing else but Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we make a mistake. You'll go by and you'll see. Sometimes you'll see, for instance, you'll see a nativity scene put out in the churches. And they do a beautiful job. However, there's only one little problem with that. That the nativity scene is usually empty. There's nobody there. I know sometimes they'll have a live nativity scene. And I'm sure if it's cold, I don't guess they're going to put a real baby out there. They'll put a doll or something like that. And they'll have actors. And they'll have a few animals. But have you ever ridden by, and we did last night, a nativity scene that just had the shelter and the crib and a few odds and ends, but nobody was there? Well, you know what's missing? You know what's missing. Jesus is what's missing. But so many people look at the nativity scene, and to them the nativity scene is more to be worshipped than the Christ child. Because we're just used, we got to have the nativity scene. We've got to have that set up. We've got to do this and we've got to do that. Again, isn't it sad how many people today would not come to the house of God to take just a little while to spend their attention, their focus upon Jesus Christ, who is the reason for the season? It is a message of hope, and the only hope that we have in this world is the hope of Jesus Christ. The message that those angels gave in verses 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I guarantee you that that has not taken place yet. I do get a little dismayed, and I know you do also, when you look at the news and you see how many fights break out at Christmas. That's not exactly peace and goodwill to men. When somebody goes up to, I was watching the news yesterday, I was talking about showing people getting in fights in department stores. Yes, over Michael Jordan. Isn't that what it was? Michael Jordan tennis shoes, pay $180. And I saw people getting trampled. This is not peace on earth, goodwill to men, folks. I'm sorry, there is not a pair of tennis shoes on the face of God's green earth that's worth getting your body trampled over. And I'm sure not going to pay $180 for it either. Somebody was telling me, said, have you ever seen anything like that? I said, oh yes. I said, I remember years ago when L.A. Gear shoes first came out, and there were young people in schools and parks who were wearing brand new L.A. Gears and were robbed by other young people for those shoes. Those shoes were taken off their body right then and there in the schools and in the public park places. Oh yes, this does not change. Of course, you got some that are sillier than that. Remember the Cabbage Patch Dolls? How the Cabbage Patch Dolls, everybody's fighting and pulling hair and everything else for a Cabbage Patch Doll. Give me a break. The worst one has to be, to me, the Pet Rocks. Remember the Pet Rocks? Pet Rock, can you believe it? And they did the same thing. They stood in line for hours to get a Pet Rock. Go down to the quarry. It won't cost you a living dime. And yet they stayed in line and fought over. I'm surprised nobody got hit in the head with a Pet Rock. But those things happen. It's ridiculous and it's silly. Why? Because this is not the gift that we're talking about. The gift is the gift of God. Wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the gift. He's the gift. And we have forgotten what that's all about. Because peace will never come, as he talks about in verse number 14. There will be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. There is no peace in your life until Jesus Christ comes to live in your life. And if you've never had that, this ought to be the greatest Christmas of your life, because you can come down here in just a few moments and we'll take a Bible and show you how to get the greatest of all gifts. And that is the love of God. no greater gift than that. Last thing, the message of Christmas is a message of humility, a message of holiness, a message of hope. And then lastly, it's a message of honor. Honor. You say, what do you mean by that? Honor. Think about something. God in heaven. I don't understand the Trinity, and I'm not here to explain three in one and one in three, and God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I'm not here to explain all of that. Couldn't if I wanted to. But I think it's an absolutely humbling factor to think about the fact that Jesus Christ was sent from the portals of heaven. And He took all the glory of God and set it aside. And He came down and went into the womb of a virgin. And was born in these humble situations. Then lived 33 and a half years and went through the persecution, the suffering, the humility, the pain, the embarrassment, because the people that claimed to worship God was blaspheming God. God with us. He was in their presence. And even though He was in their presence, they misaligned Him. They mistreated Him. They were hateful to Him. They sought to kill Him. They picked up stones to stone Him. And yet they did not comprehend that this was the Son of God. They said He was a blasphemer. Now can I say this? If Jesus Christ was not who He said He was, then indeed He was a blasphemer. But I got news for you. He was everything He said He was. Now here's the honor that we have, that God would send forth His Son, born of a virgin, came into this world, and thought enough of some puny, wicked, evil, wretched sinner like me. He came just for me. What an honor. What an honor. Faith Baptist Church ought to be filled today with people who come to grips with the reality that it's an honor that Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for my sin and yours. But I've never seen that happen, have you? I've never seen that happen anywhere. I've never seen people come by the throngs just to worship the King. I haven't seen it. Now, one day it'll happen. The Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Adolf Hitler will do that. Mussolini will do that. The popes will do that. The devil will do that. I can't wait for that. Everybody will have to. I can hear the devil now. The devil will be down on one knee, head bowed, and he'll be saying, Jesus is Lord. And it'll not kill him to do it. But I hope there's a microphone so that the billions and billions of redeemed souls will hear Him say that. We will. We will. What an honor that God would send His Son to us. He did not have to come. But He did. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a message. A message that the angels came. I don't know how many angels there were. There was a multitude of the heavenly host, verse 13 says. Don't know how many that is. Had to be a bunch of them. And obviously the angels saw this multitude, and what a choir. One of the things that fascinates me about heaven is the music. Because when we get to heaven, we're all going to have glorified vocal cords. And nobody's going to carry a bad note in heaven. Somebody says, oh, you need to be a baritone, you need to be an alto, you need to raise it, you need to drop it, you know. No problem in heaven. it'll be glorious. And there will be a multitude. Right here, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and lifting their voices in praise and worship to Jesus. Let me encourage you. You've got a busy day ahead of you. You're going to probably go see family and friends, and you've got some good eating to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But take some time today to worship and thank Him for His blessings, and that He came to die for our sins and save us, because that's the greatest of all gifts. Anything you get today will pale in comparison to what happened on the cross for our sins. Let's pray. Let's take some time this morning and worship the Lord, shall we? Heavenly Father, I pray that You will help us to worship Him from whom all blessings flow. We thank You, Father, for Your love to us. We thank You for Jesus who came and died for our sins. We thank You for the message of Christmas. We thank You for what it means to us. And I pray, God, that You will help us. Help us to be focused on this Christmas day in the midst of the materialism, in the midst of the hustle and bustle, in the midst of frustrations. Help us to keep our eyes on Christ. And we'll thank You and bless You and magnify You for what You do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we going to sing, my brother?
46, softly and tenderly.
If you feel led of the Lord, if you want to come and pray and worship the Lord, come on. Do it in your seat. You can come here. It doesn't matter. But if you feel that leadership of the Lord as we stand and sing, then you come up. Sister, you play for us. I wonder if there's anybody here that you have never received the gift of God's salvation. If you have not, could we take the Bible and show you from God's Word how you can be a Christian, how you can be saved, how you can know that your sins are forgiven, how that you can know that if you died today, you would go into the presence of God? That's the greatest gift in all the world. Is there anybody today that would say, "Preacher, I'm concerned for my soul, and I'd like for you to pray, and I'd like for the church to pray, because I need to get saved"? We'll pray for you. We'll not embarrass you. We'll not come to you. We'll not drag you down the aisle, but we'd like to pray for you. Is anybody like that? Just put your hand up, put it down, and let us pray for you, because you need to get saved. Maybe you're not quite ready yet, but we'll pray with you. You have concern for your soul, we'll pray with you. Anybody like that? Anybody about it? Lord bless you. I believe the invitation is sufficient. Thank the Lord for those that came to pray and worship the King today. And we do hope that you will have a marvelous day. You may be seated as we get ready to receive the Lord's tithes and offerings. I ask the young men to come at this time and take care of that. Again, hope you have a wonderful day. It's good to have folks with us today. Good to have Terry with us today. Good to have Brother Julius's mom. I told her she made my Christmas by being here today. I appreciate her being here. Met Julia today. It's good to have her. I'm glad to meet her today. I'm glad she's in the service. But I'm a little disappointed. I had some families that were supposed to come today, and I've been looking for them, and they didn't show up. But, you know, that's all right. I thank God that everybody's here today that is here. And so, praise the Lord. Appreciate you being here today. Have a great day. All right, Brother Julius, you lead us in prayer, please, sir.
It's Christmas Day, Lord.
Appreciate, of course, the beautiful flowers that are here. I know these in the center have been given by Brother and Sister Barbara in memory of Brother and Sister Poovey and Sister Parsons. Now, I did not find out, are these purchased by anyone also? Or these are the churches, okay. I wasn't sure on that. I better check. I don't want to get my head on the chopping block on Christmas Day. You know? All right. And Miss Nancy said we got some stuff in the back, some goodies for everybody. All right. So you be sure to get you a goodie bag. Have you a great day. God bless you, and we will see you, Lord willing, on Wednesday night.